Hey everybody, Stephen here from The Truth About Dyslexia. I hope today's podcast title has got you wondering, going, what is he talking about? Where has this magical D come from? Now, we were in a Confident Dyslexic alumni call. Now, this is a group of people that have been through the Confident Dyslexic program, had great experiences, and want to stay together talking and improving their lives with a clear understanding of where they're going. So it's a really cool group of interesting people. And something came up around how close ADHD and dyslexia are linked. And I wanted just to talk a little bit about that in a fun and creative way. So let's dive into it. Okay, let's dive into this. Now, this is something I've spoken about in the past, but it's something that is super important. You know, I find myself getting caught in my own bias. And forgetting sometimes how much I've learned about a subject. I'm not sure if you've ever experienced this. Maybe you're a specialist in something or you've been doing something for so many years. And it sometimes shocks you at how few people know what you know. You don't think about it always from their perspective, or you can't get into their heads as well as you hope. And you make decisions based on what you believe. And one thing that you know, I'm aware of is not everyone realizes the close link between ADHD and dyslexia. And we were joking on the call that we had, this alumni call with past course goers. And, you know, this joking phrase came up of ADHD as an idea comes up, because ADHD and dyslexia are so tightly linked. It is not funny. And the comorbidities, the things that the problems we have for both challenges are so similar. And I wanted just to talk through the thinking on this and why we think this. You know, ADHD and dyslexia both came at slightly different times in realization in the medical field, and they were responses to outward challenges that were experienced. Now, at the time, they weren't closely linked. They were very separate. You know, when you think about learning challenges, they were looking at kids that had high IQs or average IQs, but were struggling with a very specific challenge. So it got bucketed over in the corner. You then had this other group that had more of a challenge with, you know, attention, distractions, hyperactivity, impulsivity in another corner, and they kind of got grouped in a certain way. And because of that, rightfully or wrongfully, it just was what it was. There's no good or bad about it, but they started to get studied separately instead of together, which makes sense. You know, it's you only know what you know at the time, right? You can't always see the full picture until you've delved deeper. You know, another good example of this happening in science is how, if you think about Eastern medicine, it's much more holistic, mind and body, whereas Western medicine is very much body-centric or mind-centric. And, you know, there's some stories around the Catholic Church and how they believed it was all the body. The body was separate to the mind. The mind was close to God, and the body was separate. So scientists were only allowed to work and practice on the body, not allowed to do as much with the mind side of things. So it actually shaped the way Western medicine got created. And now that we're in a new age, you know, Eastern medicine, there's a lot of people going towards it because in part, some of it makes a lot more sense because it is more of a holistic practice. Now, don't get me wrong, Western medicine has caught up a lot, but it's, you know, it's just to give you an example when two things have been split up in the past that really should have been studied together from the get-go, but at the time, they didn't know what they knew today. So there's no skin off their nose, but it is what it is. And it's the same, I think, with dyslexia and ADHD. Now, if you think about ADHD, you know, and, you know, the way to think about it is it comes in three types in the way that they talk about it. You've got type one, which is kind of impulsivity and hyperactivity. That's one key factor. And some people just have impulsivity and hyperactivity. So they're really impulsive, super, super hyperactive. And if you imagine that on a spectrum, maybe they're a 7 out of 10, an 8 out of 10, where an average person may be 2 out of 10 or 3 out of 10 maybe. So maybe that's ADHD. That's one part of it. The second type of ADHD is inattentive and distracted. So lack of attention, daydreamers, looking out the window. So that's another part of ADHD. And you can be one of these things, or you can be both. So that makes the third one. The third one is having both high on the list. And if you're ever diagnosed for ADHD, they go through a bunch of questions, look at your family history, because it is hereditary, just like dyslexia. And they look at it and go, hey, okay, you're displaying both of them. Now, for people who are naturally inattentive, you know, what we find is boys have a bit more hyperactivity, impulsivity naturally. And girls can sometimes be a bit more inattentive and distracted. Thus, they sometimes get labeled as lazy or dumb, but don't always get picked up for ADHD. Now, our belief, you know, if we could go back in time, you know, being visual-minded thinkers, if we could just jump in our time machine, spin it up, you know, I'm sure we all have a different movie that we're picturing the time machine from. Mine is from like a place in time. There was like a giant old clock, and you'd spin the hand, and it would take them back in time. I think it had, I can't remember the guy's name, but I can picture his face, the actor. Anyway, on an aside, if we go back in time and teach the guys looking at ADHD and dyslexia to come together and consider, could it all be part of the same thing? You know, we would add another type. So you could be impulsive, hyperactive, inattentive, and distractible, but you could also be visually preferenced. That would be what I would call dyslexia, is you have a tendency to move towards your visual preference of your mind. Now, if you're dyslexic, your brain is naturally much, much more developed on the visual side. You think in pictures, you think in 3D visions, you have a bunch of benefits and negative side effects because of it, but it's all down to where the brain prefers to see things and hear things. Now, there's a bunch of stuff around that. I'm not going to dive deep into the versioning of dyslexia, but all in all, from everything I've looked at and studied, it all comes back to this way that your brain is visually preferenced. Now, some people can be right down the middle, visual and symbolic. They don't have the same problems. They've got a bit of both. There are some people who are remarkably not visual, and they can't see pictures in their mind. They see things very much in words. It's very easy for them in that side, but they don't have a real big imagination. It's probably the easiest way is to think very lacking imagination. Now, if it doesn't affect you and you don't have problems from it, you're probably somewhere down the middle. But if you are getting a lot of, let's call them the side effects of true dyslexia, where you say you're an 8 on the visual scale, you know, you're suffering with a lot of organizational issues and not being able to see time in the same way, right? Now, these are things that ADHD also has in common as challenges or side effects. The side effects of dyslexia and ADHD are very close and similar. And my belief is that if they just added visual preference, and you could be, say, 3, like I'd probably, if I was to look at this for myself, I would say I'm probably 3 or 4 on a hyperactivity impulsivity. And I would say I've probably learned how to lower that the most over the years. Inattentive and distant, again, I would probably say I'm a lot higher on that. I'd be an 8. I get distracted easily. You know, I have to be very conscious to lower that. And on a visual preference, I'd probably say I'm a 6 or a 7. I don't think I'm the most dyslexic person in the world, but it definitely affects the way I think. So if you know, I just wanted to share this because it's something that came up, and I've been trying to explain it for a long time, the connection between ADHD and dyslexia and how I would reframe it. Because all it is a frame, right? Someone said something, enough people agreed with them, and it became a kind of, you know, this is science or law, right? This is kind of what they believed. You can package things up in any way you like. You know, things change over time. If you ever read great advertising books, you know, you'll learn things like toothpaste was actually an invention of a marketer who wanted to sell people this newfangled thing. They actually proved that at the time, and maybe this has changed over time, it really didn't have a massive impact. Bar making your mouth taste nice, it wasn't like a massive scientific realization. It was just a way that they could sell more stuff to people. Now, I'm not saying stop brushing your teeth. I'm just trying to get back to why things are created. And it's all just a story. I think toothbrushes and toothpaste is a great story. It was a good idea. made someone a lot of money in the meantime, but the intention was from that place. And I guess it's kind of, if we could go back in time with new goggles, maybe this would, maybe it wouldn't even be ADHDD. Maybe it would be ADHDVP, or we could come up with a better name. I know a guy I had a while back calls it VAST, visual, again, there's so many acronyms. Is it not annoying that everyone creates these crazy acronyms? But there was a doctor I had on whose name completely escapes me. I can see his face. He's on TikTok and he talks a lot about ADHD, but he calls it VAST is the phrase. And it's for the same reasoning, really. It's because ADHD really doesn't talk to what the challenge is. But I think the way I've explained it today makes sense to people. You know, if you looked at yourself on this scale, where would you sit on impulsive, hyperactive? Where would you sit on inattentive, distractible? And where would you sit on visual preference? You know, and again, you probably need some questions to actually be able to answer this, thus the quizzes. We are looking at our quiz at the moment to even improve it more. Maybe we should add this in. Maybe this would be valuable. But we just know how hard it is to change a whole group of people's opinions, right? And just a shout out to Wendy. I know you're a great listener of this podcast. Thank you for your support. And thank you for getting me thinking about this, because hopefully that's kind of a clear way of how my pictures work on this. You know, it's just the way our brains are trained. We're going to see more on this in the future. They're now doing more EEG-based studies where they put something on your head and they can actually see dyslexic patterns. It's going to be super interesting when they do it against ADHD and look for commonalities. I don't think this has been done at a massive extent, but hey, give it 10, 20 years, there's a lot of stuff happening and changing. You know, look how far we've come in the last 30 years for dyslexia. It's been crazy. It's very, very different. So yeah, that's what I wanted to share, guys. Hopefully you're having a great day. I'll be back in 2 days' time.